section, physical culture. Behold, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Chapter, the study of physiology. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Since the mind and the soul find expression through the body, both mental and spiritual vigor are in great degree dependent upon physical strength and activity. Whatever promotes physical health promotes the development of a strong mind and a well-balanced character. Without health, no one can as distinctly understand or as completely fulfill his obligations to himself, to his fellow beings, or to his Creator. Therefore, the health should be as faithfully guarded as the character. A knowledge of physiology and hygiene should be the basis of all educational effort. Though the facts of physiology are now so generally understood, there is an alarming indifference in regard to the principles of health. Even of those who have a knowledge of these principles, there are few who put them in practice. Inclination or impulse is followed as blindly as if life were controlled by mere chance, rather than by definite and unvarying laws. The youth, in the freshness and vigor of life, little realize the value of their abounding energy. A treasure more precious than gold, more essential to advancement than learning or rank or riches, how lightly it is held, how rashly squandered. How many a man, sacrificing health in the struggle for riches or power, has almost reached the object of his desire only to fall helpless, while another, possessing superior physical endurance, grasped the longed-for prize. Through morbid conditions, the result of neglecting the laws of health, how many have been led into evil practices to the sacrifice of every hope for this world and the next. In the study of physiology, pupils should be led to see the value of physical energy and how it can be so preserved and developed as to contribute in the highest degree to success in life's great struggle. Children should be early taught in simple, easy lessons the rudiments of physiology and hygiene. The work should be begun by the mother in the home and should be faithfully carried forward in the school. As the pupils advance in years, instruction in this line should be continued until they are qualified to care for the house they live in. They should understand the importance of guarding against disease by preserving the vigor of every organ and should also be taught how to deal with common diseases and accidents. Every school should give instruction in both physiology and hygiene, and so far as possible should be provided with facilities for illustrating the structure, use, and care of the body. There are matters not usually included in the study of physiology that should be considered, matters of far greater value to the student than many of the technicalities commonly taught under this head. As the foundation principle of all education in these lines, the youth should be taught that the laws of nature are the laws of God, as truly divine as are the precepts of the Decalogue. The laws that govern our physical organism, God has written upon every nerve, muscle, and fiber of the body. Every careless or willful violation of these laws is a sin against our Creator. How necessary, then, that a thorough knowledge of these laws should be imparted. The principles of hygiene as applied to diet, exercise, the care of children, the treatment of the sick, and many like matters should be given much more attention than they ordinarily receive. The influence of the mind on the body as well as of the body on the mind should be emphasized. The electric power of the brain, promoted by mental activity, vitalizes the whole system and is thus an invaluable aid in resisting disease. This should be made plain. The power of the will and the importance of self-control, both in the preservation and in the recovery of health, the depressing and even ruinous effect of anger, discontent, selfishness, or impurity, and on the other hand, the marvelous life-giving power to be found in cheerfulness, unselfishness, gratitude should also be shown. There is a physiological truth, a truth that we need to consider. in the Scripture, a merry, rejoicing heart doeth good like a medicine. Let thine heart keep my commandments, God says, for length of days and years of life and peace shall they add to thee. They are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Pleasant words, the Scriptures declare, to be not only sweet to the soul, but health to the bones. The youth need to understand the deep truth underlying the Bible statement that with God is the fountain of life. Not only is He the originator of all, but He is the life of everything that lives. It is His life that we receive in the sunshine, in the pure, sweet air, in the food which builds up our bodies and sustains our strength. It is by His life that we exist hour by hour, moment by moment. Except as perverted by sin, all His gifts tend to life, to health, and joy. He hath made everything beautiful in its time, and true beauty will be secured not in marring God's work, but in coming into harmony with the laws of Him who created all things and who finds pleasure in their beauty and perfection. As the mechanism of the body is studied, attention should be directed to its wonderful adaptation of means to ends, the harmonious action and dependence of the various organs. As the interest of the student is thus awakened, he is led to see the importance of physical culture. Much can be done by the teacher to secure proper development and right habits. Among the first things to be aimed at should be a correct position, both in sitting and in standing. God made man upright, and He desires him to possess not only the physical, but the mental and moral benefit, the grace and dignity and self-possession, the courage and self-reliance, which an erect bearing so greatly tends to promote. Let the teacher give instruction on this point by example and by precept. Show what a correct position is and insist that it shall be maintained. Next in importance to right position are respiration and voice culture. The one who sits and stands erect is more likely than others to breathe properly, but the teacher should impress upon his pupils the importance of deep breathing. Show how the healthy action of the respiratory organs, assisting the circulation of the blood, invigorates the whole system, excites the appetite, promotes digestion, and induces sound, sweet sleep, thus not only refreshing the body, but soothing and tranquilizing the mind. And while the importance of deep breathing is shown, the practice should be insisted upon. Let exercises be given which will promote this and see that the habit becomes established. The training of the voice has an important place in physical culture, since it tends to expand and strengthen the lungs and thus to ward off disease. To ensure correct delivery in reading and speaking, see that the abdominal muscles have full play in breathing, and that the respiratory organs are unrestricted. Let the strain come on the muscles of the abdomen rather than on those of the throat. Great weariness and serious disease of the throat and lungs may thus be prevented. Careful attention should be given to securing distinct articulation, smooth, well-modulated tones, and a not-too-rapid delivery. This will not only promote health, but will add greatly to the agreeableness and efficiency of the student's work. In teaching these things, a golden opportunity is afforded for showing the folly and wickedness of tight lacing and every other practice that restricts vital action. An almost endless train of disease results from unhealthful modes of dress, and careful instruction on this point should be given. Impress upon the pupils the danger of allowing the clothing to weigh on the hips or to compress any organ of the body. The dress should be so arranged that a full respiration can be taken and the arms be raised above the head without difficulty. The cramping of the lungs not only prevents their development but hinders the process of digestion and circulation and thus weakens the whole body. All such practices lessen both physical and mental power, thus hindering the student's advancement and often preventing his success. In the study of hygiene, the earnest teacher will improve every opportunity to show the necessity of perfect cleanliness, both in personal habits and in all one's surroundings. The value of the daily bath in promoting health and in stimulating mental action should be emphasized. Attention should be given also to sunlight and ventilation, the hygiene of the sleeping room and the kitchen. Teach the pupils that a healthful sleeping room, a thoroughly clean kitchen, and a tastefully arranged, wholesomely supplied table will go farther towards securing the happiness of the family and the regard of every sensible visitor than any amount of expensive furnishing in the drawing room. That the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment is a lesson no less needed now than when given by the divine teacher 1,800 years ago. The student of physiology should be taught that the object of his study is not merely to gain a knowledge of facts and principles. This alone will prove of little benefit. He may understand the importance of ventilation. His room may be supplied with pure air. But unless he fills his lungs properly, he will suffer the results of imperfect respiration. So the necessity of cleanliness may be understood and needful facilities may be supplied, but all will be without avail unless put to use. The great requisite in teaching these principles is to impress the pupil with their importance so that he will conscientiously put them in practice. By a most beautiful and impressive figure, God's Word shows the regard He places upon our physical organism and the responsibility resting on us to preserve it in the best condition. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have from God, and ye are not your own? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let pupils be impressed with the thought that the body is a temple in which God desires to dwell, that it must be kept pure, the abiding place of high and noble thoughts. As in the study of physiology, they see they are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. They will be inspired with reverence. Instead of marring God's handiwork, they will have an ambition to make all that is possible of themselves in order to fulfill the Creator's glorious plan. Thus they will come to regard obedience to the laws of health not as a matter of sacrifice or self-denial, but as it really is an inestimable privilege and blessing.